WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning, and we are packed with all kinds of local stories to talk about this morning. We'll also have the Gen X Files coming up for you later in this hour, and then in the next hour, we'll be joined by the folks of Gnome Surf. We're going to talk about their upcoming annual Clam Bake, which is their big fundraiser for the year, but also about what Gnome Surf does and how you can get involved. Also, Chris McCarthy will be broadcasting live this morning from the Museum of Madeiran Heritage to get everybody ready for the 109th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, which kicks off tomorrow in New Bedford at Madeira Field. And he'll have not only some folks from the Feast Committee and folks who are involved with the feast on the program this morning, he'll have Mayor Mitchell as well at 11 o'clock. And that means they're going to be discussing all of this stuff that's in the news this week. We're going to talk about the fact that the New Bedford Light article published yesterday regarding the longevity pay has a total of what was paid out, at least as far back as the digital records go, which was 20 years. And that total amount comes out to $63,500 over the last 20 years. And it may be more, because there's no paper records. As you know, there was a flood that destroyed a lot of the paper records. And also, it's going to be hard to go through all of that. But the digital records revealed $63,500 in longevity payments to elected officials such as city councilors, mayors, and assessors. Because, yes, John Mitchell is not the only mayor to get it. At least as far as these records go back, Fred Kalis got longevity pay as well. The only person to return it is Mayor Mitchell. Again, there's a little bit of conflicting info because I thought I heard Chris say yesterday in my running around and in and out and meetings and appointments and all that, I thought I heard him say that the city would be sending a letter to the counselors and to people who had received this pay and look for it to be paid back. They can't require them, I guess, but they were looking for it to be paid back. And in the New Bedford Light piece, it says that they're not going to seek repayment of this money. So either way, the practice has ended. And we now have a total, at least for the last 20 years, of what was paid out. And as I mentioned, the New Bedford Light has a graph breakdown that tells you how much each person got over those 20 years. And Councilor Brian Gomes leads it with $12,350. Assessor Marty Tredup, $11,550. You got a number of folks that were in the, $2,000 to $7,000 range, and then others who got less than $1,000. So you can check out that graph and the complete story at newbedfordlight.org. Again, as I was saying this morning, a little bit of it is kind of a mischaracterization to say that, there was rumor that it had gone back 100 years. That was Chris McCarthy quoting and playing the quote of Councilor Morad saying that in the meeting. I believe it was the Cut Night meeting, and she talked about it and she mentioned, this practice has been going on for 100 years, and it might have been an exaggeration, and Chris acknowledged as much. So it wasn't that, nobody expects that this has actually been going on for 100 years. And then the idea that, we were the ones kind of bringing this up and we were the ones kind of making a big deal out of this, we being the radio station and you, the audience, responding to the radio station, is not entirely accurate. This was brought up by a city councilor. This was brought to our attention. We didn't know about it until a city councilor came forward and told us about it, told Chris McCarthy about it. Originally anonymously, but then stepped in and revealed himself to be Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette. And that was only brought to our attention because Councilors Morad and Giesta were looking to put a motion, file a motion to get this pay reinstated after the mayor had decided not to pay it out at the end of last year because they found that it should not have legally been paid out. So this wasn't, you know, muckraking on the part of the radio station. This was a counselor brought it to us. The audience responded, and the audience did not want to let the story go. And by the way, I'm someone who is of the mindset of, yeah, it shouldn't happen, but I don't really see a way that you can try to get all that money back. Glad that you fixed it going forward, but I guess we just got to kind of move on from it. Like, that's been my outlook for it. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm coming from a perspective of, you know, I want to see the checks that all these people are writing back to the city. Like, I know, like, as far as they knew, they didn't do anything wrong in accepting that money because that was the policy at the time. If I get a bonus at my job, and granted, my salary isn't paid by the taxpayers, but if I got a bonus at my job and they're like, here, this bonus is for whatever, I would never be like, well, let me go look in the handbook and see if that's an actual bonus that they pay out. I would just say, okay, thanks. Makes sense. Sure. I wouldn't question it. And I think that that's what happened over the years. Somebody at some point looked at the city ordinance about longevity pay for employees and said, I think we can make this work for elected officials too. Doesn't necessarily mean that they had a nefarious intent in mind, but they might have said, you know, that should apply to us as well. But I don't think we're going to find out who that individual was, and it certainly wasn't anybody currently on the city council. So I think, you know, this was just a matter of thought they could, turns out they couldn't. The headline of the New Bedford Light piece is something rotten in New Bedford or much ado about nothing. I think the truth is something in the middle there. So we can talk more about that. We were also discussing the response that Barry got yesterday that he shared with myself and Chris about the New Bedford Police Department's employment of legal permanent residents. And it turns out there is another legal permanent resident on the police force, a Cape Verdean officer. And Holly Huntoon, spokesperson for the police department, said that both Officer Taj, the Guatemalan officer, and this Cape Verdean officer both will be pursuing U.S. citizenship. So I think that, and I don't know how long that process is going to take, as we know that can be a very lengthy process. We don't know where they are in that process. But hopefully that takes Officer Taj himself off the table as a target of people. I shouldn't use that word when describing a police officer, but as the subject of people's ire. Because the problem here is the policy and not the person. The problem here is that there was a non-clarified position here that had to be clarified. That, I think, is the biggest issue out of all of this, is that there was... they're trying to be transparent about it, but I think it's a little bit after the fact. So we can talk about that. We can also talk about the story I have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I went into Dollar Tree, and basically what happened was the other day I wanted to get lunch from Sweet Ginger. I was going to get a chow mein sandwich. When you're hungry and you only got a couple of bucks, it's a great lunch. I think anybody on the South Coast knows that the chow mein sandwich is your go-to sandwich when you got 10 bucks in your pocket. You know, it's your go-to lunch. And so I was walking from here, you know, go out the back door, cross the plaza and go over to Sweet Chin. You know, I'm trying to walk more, even though it was hot and sweaty. And I wanted to, you know, get some exercise in, especially if I was going to be eating some carbs. And as I walked by Dollar Tree the first time, I saw, oh, they got Halloween stuff out. All right, well, I got to go pick up my food. When I come back, maybe I'll pop in and see what they have. And as it turns out, as I walked back around, I was like, I will pop in because not only do I want to see, but it also gives me a couple minutes of air conditioning because it is hot out here. And so I went inside and I walked over to the Halloween aisle and I saw, you know, some of the $3 and $7 items, $5 items, which we knew were coming. We had a story about that they were going to be raising the prices. And that happened right around the time that Family Dollar Incorporated, which had also owned Dollar Tree. No, I'm sorry. Strike that. Reverse it. Thank you. Dollar Tree Incorporated, which also owned Family Dollar. So I'm talking about the Dollar Tree store. I'm sorry if I got it confused. I walked by the Dollar Tree store. I'm not going to walk all the way to Family Dollar in Fairhaven on a hot day. No, that's a little bit too much for me. But I walked by Dollar Tree and saw these items. And Dollar Tree Incorporated had divested from Family Dollar. They sold off Family Dollar. And around that same time, that's when they were upping these prices. And they said that the prices would top out at $7. Well, as I was looking at the Halloween aisle, I saw these LED inflatables that were marked $20. And so I came back here and I started writing an article of, can you believe there's actually $20 items now at Dollar Tree? And I was, you know, going through the background of what had happened with the price increases and all of this. And I didn't get to finish the article because some other news stories came up and I worked on those. And I said, I'm just going to put this in the back burner, maybe get to it tomorrow. And then as I was sitting down and looking at the photos to put into the story, I noticed that these prices were actually on red stickers, which I hadn't really noticed at first. And so I walked back over to see what's the price under the sticker. And when I went over there, I noticed that folks had taken a lot of the stickers off of items and placed the red sticker next to the printed price that was on the box. So there were items that were $3 that had been marked up to $5. There were items that were $5 that had been marked up to $6. And these LED inflatables, when you peeled back the sticker that said $20, it now said $10. And these items looked like they might have come from Dollar Tree. They're the similar package. I'm sorry, did it again. Family Dollar. If you know when you walk into Family Dollar, all the items usually have like the price printed on the package. A lot of the items do. And it looked like that. Same font, same style. And so my assumption in my head is this must be stuff that they got before they sold off Family Dollar. And now they're putting it in Dollar Tree stores. But a 50% markup? Now, I get it. Tariffs come into play. And I've been hearing from people that work in retail that a lot of times they are putting, if they have a printed price on something, a sticker over the existing price to be able to call her. Hang on, I'm going to get to you in just a moment. But they're putting a sticker over these existing prices to be able to raise the prices for to account for the tariffs. And I understand that. I get that completely. But from $10 to $20 for an inflatable thing, I get it. It's probably made in China. And we know the China tariffs are going up or have gone up. But if this is coming from Dollar, if this is coming from Family Dollar, as it appears to be, again, maybe they're printing prices on things for Dollar Tree that look similar. I don't know. I've reached out, by the way, to Dollar Tree Inc. looking for more information on this. I haven't heard back yet. But if it is from Family Dollar, then it seems kind of disingenuous because they've already paid for those items. They've already purchased those items. The tariffs wouldn't affect that. They divested from that company back in March. So, again, the bottom line is $20 seems like a lot of money to pay for anything from a store called Dollar Tree. But maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. Maybe you don't like having the price stickers on there either, but I think that's going to become the reality of things going forward. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Well, happy day to you.
To you as well.
Thank you. About the Dollar Tree,
mm-hmm.
I think when they were a dollar Everything was a dollar and like 6 cents tax. Then they moved it up $1.25 and plus the tax. And I think they were seeing if people were going to like that. So they went on with it. I think now people are getting used to that. So they're going in there now. And there's things that are worse, you know, that are costing way over the dollars that it used to be. And people are still going in there and getting their stuff. You know, I don't understand. They're going to have to change the name of the store because it's still called the Dollar Tree. That bothers me.
I mean, I guess they don't have to because there's, you know, if you look at like Family Dollar, that's called Family Dollar, and they've always had items that were more than a dollar.
I have an issue with that too.
I think people expected this was going to happen because they thought. They saw that a lot of the same items were coming into that store, like they would have at Family Dollar, and I think people thought that it was going to become more like that, but I don't think anybody expected $20 items to be on the shelf.
Well, I have a couple of other issues. The Family Dollar especially, and it's been going on at the Dollar Tree too. What the heck is going on with the dirty floors, with everything all over the floors? When you go around Halloween time, to not just the Family Dollar and the Dollar Tree, but also at Savers, they come in with all the costumes, all the things that go with it. And women, I don't understand it because I'm a woman, but I got to say it, they come in with their kids and they let their kids roam all around the store grabbing the masks, the costumes, they're trying them on, they're throwing them on the floor. You have to actually pay attention to where you're walking because you could fall down. There should be a sign. Don't bring your kids here at Halloween time. Sorry, unless you're going to clean the floor. Have you ever seen the Family Dollar down the south end near the dike over there? I don't even know if they're still there, but they've got the dirtiest floors I've ever seen. Boxes that are in the aisle, kids ripping open the boxes. Nobody says anything. And if you as a shopper goes in there and say, hey, lady, watch your kid. You see what your kid's doing? They attack you like you're crazy. So these stores don't care about cleaning the floor. I asked one lady at the Dollar Tree, the one on Northside Street, Mount Pleasant over here. She says, no, we don't hire anybody to do just the cleaning. So if I don't like it, I can clean it myself. That's the way it's, what it is.
Who cleans the store then?
I don't know. I've never actually seen anybody cleaning the stores.
I mean, I get it. You know, you might not have the same help that you've had in the past, but somebody has to do it.
Well, and one last thing before I take too much time. When you go to the stores now at the Dollar Tree, I don't know what the Family Dollar does, because I really haven't been there for a long time, but I know Dollar Tree does this. They ask you, would you like a receipt? Are you kidding me? All stores always gave receipts when you bought something. Why do you have to ask me if I want it? You're trying to save paper?
No. I think they ask you now because a lot of people will say, I don't need a receipt because if you're paying with a debit card or a credit card, a lot of them send you a receipt via email. So people will refuse the receipt. So I think they just started asking so that because some people, because like I get a receipt sent to me for things that I buy. So I don't take the physical receipt because I lose the physical receipt. I like having the email because then I have it if I need it.
Yeah, you can do the email too. Well, actually, now that I've seen other things on the news that say the ink that they use on the receipts, they say, oh, don't touch the receipts, don't take the receipts anymore. I don't know if it's true or if they just don't want to give you a receipt. So if you want to return something to the store, you have to have a receipt. What are you going to do, show them your phone? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that works. You just show them the receipt on your phone.
But what do you think about that? Seeing there's some kind of a chemical that can actually make you sick on the receipts. Have you seen that?
I mean, I put them in my mouth and chew them. So I use them as gum. So that makes me a little worried now.
Okay. And is it time for me to mention that guy that everybody's yakking about that went to Brooklyn Park and did a dump over there? So I know they're not going to put porta potties all over the streets of New Bedford for the homeless. But what is a person supposed to do? Not just this one guy. But if you're walking around and there's just nowhere to go, you just can't stop bodily functions. You're going to have to end up doing something. I think people that feel they have to be careful with that kind of a thing, bring a plastic bag with you. Like when you're walking your dog, you bring a bag and you scoop it up. You can clean up after yourself if it has to be something like that. At least he went down in that little water stream way there, and he was kind of under a little bit. Because if he did it above ground, then what?
Was the library not open?
Oh, I don't, maybe he didn't get that bodily attack at that point. Passing by there, I don't know.
Listen, Mary, I'm the wrong person to ask about this because there was a time I was driving home from Boston. I'd covered a Celtics game. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving home, and I had to go, and I couldn't find any place to go. So I found this. Nobody was open. There was no gas stations, no restaurants. I went into this like little residential neighborhood and used the bushes in their park.
I
swear to God, I did.
So, but you had a wipe.
So
did you do it with your underwear? You had napkins or what?
So at the time, I did not have any napkins in my car. At the time, I was a cook in the mornings, and I wore those white cook shirts, and I happened to have a bunch of the dirty ones in my car to put in the laundry, and I grabbed one of those and put it in the. Then I put it in the trash barrel in the neighborhood there.
Well, I'll say this: only a real man would come out and admit this to the public. So, cheers to you.
The best part was, as I was walking out of the bushes from doing it, I saw a guy walk by with his dog.
Really?
And then I looked at the dog and I said, well, at least I picked mine up.
But people were, I went right in there and I saw all the comments and some people were just outrageous. It's a human bodily function. What is the guy supposed to do? I felt bad. It's not nice. But I mean, I think people that think that they might have that problem, if they're sick or something, carry around, you know, like a plastic grocery bag or something like that. Then it wouldn't have been half as bad because he was going to clean it up.
Listen, you want my opinion on this? Here's what I think. You've got a public space. You've got a public park, something like that. You have public restroom facilities. And if that means you have to hire somebody to watch them, hire somebody to clean them, then you do that. Part of having these public spaces should be public access to a restroom.
Well, you know, I think you were kind of too young to remember this, but on Sawyer Street, and they have right around the corner on Sawyer, there was public bathroom, and they had a woman in there all the time just to make sure nothing was going to be going on. Mm-hmm. But today, I think a lot of things would be going on in there. You have to have two people watching it, I guess. It could be dangerous because you're inside there.
Well, you know what? It's a great job for a retiree. It's a great job for a high school kid that needs to make a little money during summer vacation. I think if you have public spaces, there should be public restrooms, and people should have access to them. Not 24 hours a day. I wouldn't expect that. You know, lock them up at sundown, open them up at sunrise. But I think that you should have a bathroom if you have a public space.
Okay, I'll go away now, and I'll say happy pooping to you, and carry some toilet paper.
I keep it in the trunk now.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have those. You can go buy one that you keep in your car for in case of emergencies.
Well, you could always, you know, ride around with a little bowl in your car, something that would handle that. And then you just throw everything in one big bag. Because we don't even think of this. People have been going through this all their life. If you're out and you got to do something, you're in the middle of nowhere.
People used to do it in the street before we had toilets in the house. People just used to do it in the street like a horse.
We survived it all.
Well, we all got the bubonic plague and died, but that, you know, it doesn't matter. We'll find a way around it.
Now you started me up. They did mention the plague. There's a plague going around.
Well, hopefully it's not from pooping in the woods. We'll save that for next time.
I don't think so. Have a great day. Thank
you as well. All right, I got to take a break here. We'll do that. We'll come back with the news. We'll have the Gen X Files and then more with you. Stay tuned. Discover the elegance of custom jewelry at Art in Gold in New Bedford. Family owned and operated since 1992, Art in Gold specializes in high-end gold, silver, and precious stones. Whether you're looking for a unique engagement ring or need expert repairs, their skilled jewelers can help. Experience the artistry of bespoke jewelry today. Art in Gold, where your dreams are crafted into golden reality. Visit them on Bolton Street in New Bedford or online at artingold.org. That's artingold.org. Let's go into the newsroom. We'll get an update on all the top stories of the day. On the other side of that, we'll have the Gen X Files and then more with you. Take it away, Mike.
The latest on the New York City shooter. President Trump threatening legal action against the Harris campaign. And a new trend when it comes to tying the knot.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Authorities are working to determine whether the shooter in Monday's Manhattan attack that left five people dead, including the gunman, received help. Mayor Eric Adams says pieces of the semi-automatic rifle used in the killings were bought by an associate of suspect Shane Tamura. and detectives are working to ID that person. Reports say Tamura appeared to be targeting the NFL headquarters and had a note claiming he suffered from CTE, a brain disease linked to playing football. While investigators were searching Tamura's Las Vegas home, they found a second note similar in tone to the one discovered in New York. The jury is deliberating the fate of a Colorado dentist accused of slowly poisoning his wife to death. James Craig was arrested in 2023 after his wife, Angela, became ill and died. Investigators say Craig killed his wife by poisoning her protein shakes with a deadly mixture of cyanide and tetrahydrozoline. But Craig's defense says the prosecution never actually located the drugs.
When you look at this evidence, that you take those blinders off, that you look at the evidence that they have provided you, and you look at the evidence that they have not provided, and we ask that you find him not guilty.
President Trump seeking legal action against former Vice President Kamala Harris and celebrities who endorsed her presidential campaign. Trump claims Harris paid Beyonce $11 million, Oprah $3 million, and Al Sharpton $600,000. Trump says that violates campaign finance laws. On Truth Social, he wrote, quote, "You are not allowed to pay for an endorsement." However, federal filings reveal only standard reimbursements for event costs, not endorsements. Harris's campaign denies any wrongdoing. Critics suggest Trump is using the claims to distract from his own issues regarding the Jeffrey Epstein case. Attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs are asking a federal judge to release him from jail as he awaits his October sentencing.
In a 12-page letter to the judge, Diddy's lawyers claim the rap music mogul should not remain incarcerated for the transportation to engage in prostitution counts he was convicted of earlier this month, noting there are exceptional reasons that justify his release. They're requesting he be let out on $50 million bail and be allowed to reside in his Miami home ahead of his October 3rd sentencing. Combs was acquitted of the more serious sex trafficking and racketeering conspiracy charges, but was denied to be released on bail before his sentencing. I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
The Trump administration going after a substance readily available at convenience stores and vape shops across some U.S. states. FDA officials say they are beginning the process to classify 7-O as an illicit drug. 7-O is a byproduct of kratom, often referred to as gas station heroin. Officials warn it's being marketed to children and could lead to a dependence or addiction. During that announcement, HHS Secretary RFK Jr. spoke about his own addiction battle. There's a big new trend in weddings that is all about the word small.
According to TheKnot.com, the average cost of a wedding for 100 guests is now $33,000, with nearly 34% of couples paying for some of the wedding, about 17% paying for all of it. With that, the wedding report says 18% of all weddings are now going micro. That's a guest list of 50 or less. And that reduction is reflected in the cost, with the average micro nuptials running less than 10 grand. I'm Bree Tennis.
A pair of Kobe Bryant's game-worn shoes have sold for $240,000.
The shoes were sold on Monday by SCP Auctions. Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash in 2020, wore the shoes during his first ever NBA start on January 28, 1997. He was just 18 years old at the time. The autographed Adidas EQT Top 10 are now the second most expensive pair of Kobe Bryant shoes ever sold. I'm Daniel Martindale.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Twins in Minnesota last night, 8-5. Those two teams back at it this afternoon at 1:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
One more day of heat and humidity before things cool down a little bit tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy today, temps in the upper 80s and low 90s. The mugginess continues tonight, low 70. Few showers and possible thunderstorms tomorrow, 76. Showers even cooler on Friday. We might not even get up to 70. So far, the weekend looks dry, mid-70s Saturday and Sunday. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, and now we're going to go into the Gen X Files. We got a caller on hold, but it's that time, caller. This is the time when we do it every day, so you're going to have to hang on. Also, we're a little bit late for it today. Also, just a reminder, too, that the Butcher Shop is open at 123 Dharma Street in New Bedford. So if you want to go and get yourself some delicious Portuguese food to get ready for the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, if you want to go and get yourself some already made Portuguese food to help get you excited for the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, they've got that there. But they've also got everything that you need. Shopping of all kinds. Everything from steak to soccer balls. It's not just the best quality meat that you'll find in New Bedford. It is. But it's also so many other things as well, including beer and wine, including things like homemade rice pudding and so much more. So check out the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, a real old school neighborhood market. All right, we are going to get into the Gen X Files right now. Let's fire it up.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Blues icon Buddy Guy turns 89 today. Action legend Arnold Schwarzenegger is 78. Designing women star Delta Burke is 69 and singer Kate Bush is 67. He got his start on Pee-wee's Playhouse in the 80s before he became Morpheus. Lawrence Fishburne turned 64. Friends star Lisa Kudrow is 62. Vivica A. Fox is 61. Terry Crews, 57. Film director Christopher Nolan, 55. And actress Christine Taylor and comedian Tom Green are both 54. Hilary Swank is 51. Jamie Presley is 48. And U.S. Women's Team two-time gold medalist Hope Solo is 44 years old today. July 30th, 1988, Steve Winwood started a four-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Roll With It. Later, Motown songwriters Holland Dozier Holland were credited with co-writing the song due to its resemblance to the Junior Walker hit I'm a Roadrunner. In 1990, George Steinbrenner was forced by Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent to resign as a principal partner for the New York Yankees for hiring Howie Spira to, quote, get dirt on Dave Winfield. 1991, a police officer was forced to tear up a traffic ticket given to the limousine that Axl Rose was traveling in. After it made an illegal turn, Rose threatened to pull that night's Guns N' Roses gig if the ticket was issued. In 1997, a judge in Los Angeles ruled that Michael Jackson and the members of his family were not liable for losses incurred by the producers of the failed 1994 Jackson Family Honors TV special. The show was delayed for several weeks because Jackson was ill and could not perform solo as expected. July 30th, 1999, The Blair Witch Project, a low-budget independent horror film that would become a massive cult hit, was released in the U.S. theaters. With the help of a web-based viral marketing strategy, which was a relatively new concept at the time, The Blair Witch Project generated huge buzz over the question of whether or not it was based on a true story. In fact, the story was entirely fake, but the film still grossed $250 million worldwide and was featured on the covers of Newsweek and Time magazines.
Evening shadows make me blue. When it's weary day.
That is the very first recording that Elvis Presley ever made, and it was recorded by Sam Phillips. And on this date in 2003, Sam Phillips, the founder of Sun Records and Studio, died of respiratory failure at St. Francis Hospital in Memphis. He discovered Elvis. He worked with Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, Ike Turner, B.B. King, and Jerry Lee Lewis. In 2004, the cult classic stoner comedy Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle was released. The Columbus, Ohio-based hamburger chain reportedly saw sales rise 30% the following week. But it was still terrible. White Castle burgers are not good. In 2006, the world's longest-running music show, Top of the Pops, was broadcast for the last time, and it had been on the air since January 1st, 1964. That's the Gen X Files for July 30th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. home of the Porch Sampler, where all month long they're celebrating National Ice Cream Month with special days all through July. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram for more information. All right, let's take a quick call here before we got to go into a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Billy Safiolas. You know, I've been listening to you, and what perked my interest is when you made that comment about the public bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to a public park and all this stuff, and they should... Why you blur it up? I just want to bring up something that, you know, New Bedford Housing, at Trip Towers, where I was there in 2018, they had the handicapped bathrooms shut down since 2014 because somebody threw some number two on the walls. And they do have a cleaning crew that's supposed to go and clean it. And that is money from the state that comes down here for them to do that. They shut down the bathrooms for 4 years until I started running my mouth.
I mean,
Steve Borwick, I had him shut down. Wait a minute, you said public and jobs and everything. So why was he allowed to do that? Shut down 10 floors and the senior citizens, they have problem going to the bathroom for 4 years because they don't want to open them up.
I mean, I can tell you, I know it's not a public bathroom, but when I worked in the diner, we had people that would come in and do that kind of thing all the time. And we never said, okay, that's it. Bathroom shut down. We just went in and cleaned it and said that's part of the deal, I guess, with having a bathroom.
But I'm sure how would they get the money? They give them for the cleaning crew, too. So what was he doing with the money? My problem is he had the handicap, which is against the law. Had him shut down for 4 years. 4 years he had him shut down.
It's a long time to hold it.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, you got people there 60, 70, 80, 90 years old in 10 floors with elevators.
Well,
you know what I mean? So when you said public bathrooms and Steve Beauregard had him shut down and don't even open them for the people.
Well, just as a side note, do you think that there should be public bathrooms in places like parks?
No. They should have something for the people like you and Mary were talking, bodily functions. You know, when you get to the age of my age, like 74, and older people, they have a place to go. They let go. What are they going to do? It?
Yeah.
And if they do it, in a car, I mean, without going to a bathroom, then how are they going to clean it?
Mm-hmm.
It's common sense. But the New Bedford Housing was getting money from HUD. That's taxpayers' money. What was he doing with the money that they had to shut the bathrooms? And then what was he using the money that they were giving him for cleaning if he had them shut down for 4 years?
I get you.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, I got to hold
you. Thank you very much.
Okay, you have a good day. I just got to get this break in. We got two breaks to get in before the end of the hour, so let me get this one in. When we come back, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. All right, welcome back in. And, of course, that's Hall & Oates, out of touch, but you don't have to be out of touch when it comes to the laundry because you don't even have to do it anymore. That's right. You can get it done at Dash Laundromat. They have a brand-new location right on Rodney French Boulevard in New Bedford to go along with their original location at One State Road in Dartmouth. So now two Dash Laundromats to choose from. And because they are celebrating the grand opening of their new location in New Bedford, they are running their famous Buck-a-Pound Wash, Dry, Fold service all summer long. So all the way until the end of August, you can get wash, dry, and fold service for just a Buck-a-Pound. Now, I get all my clothes washed at Dash. They wash it, they dry it, they fold it. And I love it because I just open up the bag, take out a shirt, throw it on. And not even wrinkled, I hope. And so that's the way to do it. Don't waste your summer. Don't waste the time that's left of summer doing laundry. Have Dash Laundromat do it for you for a buck a pound. And you can pay and track your order right from your phone with the free Dash Laundromat app. Convenient, clean clothes at crazy good prices. So again, check out Dash Laundromat now at two locations on One State Road in Dartmouth and on Rodney French Boulevard in New Bedford. And make sure you download that Dash Laundromat app to find out more. Got one more break I got to get in before the end of the hour. We will be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, the folks from Gnome Surfer here, we're going to talk about their upcoming Clambake fundraiser and about what they do. And, of course, we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. Then when we come back after the 8:30 news, everything's back on the table. We can talk about the longevity pay story from New Bedford Light. We can talk about the revelation that there is another New Bedford police officer who is also a legal permanent resident. Both he and he's from Cape Verde, but both he and Officer Taj are now going to be seeking U.S. citizenship. Also, we can talk about the Dollar Tree having items for $20, even though underneath the sticker it says 10. And we can talk about why were people getting naked in the YMCA pool